Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, Chapter 1, Text 12. Natasya kaschit tapasa vidyaya va na yoga viryena manishaya va नैवार्थधर्मै परतस्वतो वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद् विभूयात्। न तस्य कश्चित् तपसा विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनीषया वा नैवार्थधर्मैः परतस्वतो वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। न तस्य कश्चित् तपसा विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनीषया वा नैवार्थधर्मै परतस्वतो वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। तदस्य कश्चित् तपसा विद्यया वा नैवार्थधर्मै परतस्वतो वा विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। तपसा विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनीषया वा नैवार्थधर्मै परतस्वतो वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। न तस्य कश्चित् तपसा विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनीषया वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। न तस्य कश्चित् तपसा विद्यया वा न योगवीर्येण मनीषया वा नैवार्थधर्मै परतस्वतो वा कृतं विहन्तुं तनुभृद्विभूयात्। माताजी, रीड द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। न नेवर तस्य हिज कश्चित् एनीवन तपसा बाय ऑस्टेरिटी विद्यया बाय एजुकेशन वा or na never yoga by power of mystic yoga viryena by personal strength manishaya by intelligence va or na never eva certainly, artha by material opulence, dharmaihi by the power of religion, parataha by any external power, svataha by personal endeavor, va or kritam the order, vihantum to avoid, tanubhruta a living entity who has accepted a material body, vibhuyat is able. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: one cannot avoid the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not by strength of severe austerities and exalted Vedic education or the power of mystic yoga, physical prowess or intellectual activities, nor can one use his power of religion, his material opulence or any other means, either by himself or with the help of others, to defy the orders of Supreme Lord. That is not possible for any living being, from Brahma down to an ant. Purport: in the Garga Upanishad, Gargamuni says to his wife, etasyava eka sarvasya prasha sane gargi surya chandramasau vidhratu tishtataha. My dear Gargi, everything is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the sun, the moon and other controllers and demigods like Lord Brahma and King Indra are all under his control. An ordinary human being or animal who has accepted a material body cannot go beyond the jurisdictions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's control. A material body includes senses. However, the sense activities of so-called scientists who try to be free from God's law or laws of nature are useless. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, mama maya duratyaya. It is impossible to surpass the control of material nature, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is working behind it. Sometimes we are proud of our austerities, penances, mystic yogic powers, but it is clearly stated herein that one cannot surpass the laws and directions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either by dint of mystic power, a scientific education or austerities and penances. It is impossible. The word manishya by intelligence is of special significance. Priyavrat might argue that Lord Brahma was requesting him to accept family life and the responsibility for ruling a kingdom. Although Narad Muni had advised him not to enter household life and be entangled in material affairs, whom to accept would be a puzzle for Priyavrat, because both Lord Brahma and Narad Muni are authorities. Under the circumstances, the use of the word manishaya is very appropriate, for it indicates that since both Narad Muni and Lord Brahma are authorized to give instructions, Priyavrat should neglect neither of them but should use his intelligence to follow the advice of both. To solve such dilemmas, Srila Rupa Goswami has given a very clear conception of intelligence. He says, anasaktasya vishayan yatharham upayunjataha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagya muchyate. Vishayan, material affairs, should be accepted without attachment and everything should be dovetailed with the service of the Lord. That is real intelligence, manisha. Becoming a family man or a king in the material world is not harmful if one accepts everything for Krishna's service. That necessitates clear intelligence. Mayavadi philosopher says, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. This material world is false and only the absolute truth is real. However, an intelligent devotee in the line of Lord Brahma and the great sage Narada, or in other words, in Brahma Sampradaya, does not consider this world false. That which is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be false, but using it for enjoyment is. Everything is meant to be enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme proprietor and enjoyer, and therefore everything should be dovetailed for his enjoyment and service, regardless of one's circumstances, favorable or unfavorable, one should use everything to serve the Supreme Lord. That is the perfect way to use one's intelligence. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha
ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭಿಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೋ ಶ್ರೀಯುತಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾನ್ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ನಮಃಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪ್ರದಾಯತೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೋರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ವುಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಸೀಕ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸ್ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಸೊ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಎಲಿವೇಟೆಡ್ ಸಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ ಮ್ಯಾಟರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಫಾರ್ ಅವರ್ ಪ್ಯೂರಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಫೈಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. So as last few days we are hearing from this chapter the activities of Maharaj Priyavrat, that this very crucial time in the life of Priyavrat Maharaj, when he was put into such trying circumstance where he has to decide how to serve the Lord, which is the best possible way of serving the Lord. Because as Prabhupada says here, Narad Muni had very nicely preached Priyavrat Maharaj for many days, and he was very fixed up in his vow of renunciation. And now on the spot comes Brahmaji for persuading same Priyavrat for taking the role up for king and again do the so called material activities. And then in purport Prabhupada, first paragraph he writes about the supremacy of Krishna, because we can abide by the laws and by the will of the Lord only when we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is in full control. If you don't know this fact, then we have our own plans. So Brahmaji was telling Priyavrat Maharaj that please, you don't have your plans. I will tell you what is the plan of the Lord. Because Lord only had sent me, inspired me to come here and give you this advice. So he was persuading Priyavrat Maharaj on this point, because we have heard this English proverb that man proposes and God disposes. Generally jai shri radha ras bihari ji ki shri gonitai ki jai shri sita ram lakshman hanuman ki jai. So this proverb says that man proposes and God disposes. That man has so many hundreds of plans, and when he goes on the field, many times we find that God has different plans and he practically dismantles all his plans. But Bhagavad Gita teaches us that another, you know, understanding. There he says, God proposes and man accepts. So Krishna is telling, okay, you do like this, you know, you fight for me. And Arjuna says, okay. That is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. To accept the plan of the Lord and willing to act for the plan of the Lord. That is what the Bhagavad Gita is. So when we understand Krishna as the supreme controller, everything is in his control at all times. 24 hours into 30 days into 12 months. All times Krishna is in, you know, full control. So that's why when Krishna says this verse, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surudam Sarvabhutanam Jnatva Shanti Murchati, that by understanding these three things, that Bhoktaram, that is Lord, is the supreme enjoyer, no one else, not me. Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam, whatever, you know, we perform. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, he is the possessor of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. And third thing he says, that he is the benefactor of everyone. Surudam, Sarvabhutana. So, Prabhupada quotes this verse and tells that how Krishna is the supreme controller. But the problem is, although even after knowing this philosophy, practically outside world we see that so many, you know, commissions are, you know, created, so many committees are created, so many organizations are there, just so that they can take care of the, you know, world by their planning and organization. But when they miss this point that actually Krishna is in control and we are just his representative to act that control. So when that is not there, then what happens is, as Krishna says here, Shanti Mruchati, by understanding this one becomes peaceful. But when he doesn't understand this, then he is most miserable person. And we can see that all the miseries in this life, either in our life personally or locally, you know, in our community, in our, you know, family, or on the larger scale, worldly level also, all the anxieties or the distress that comes because of the not understanding this fact that Krishna is the controller. How? Because like in our day to day life also, what are the anxieties which, like yesterday very nicely, you know, Prabhuji was telling about the percentage of anxieties, that how we are always worried about so many things which we never actually are in our hand. So when someone becomes anxiety ridden, when he forgets that Krishna is not in control, he feels that, okay, Krishna is God, but maybe, you know, in case he doesn't see or in case he doesn't work out, then I have my own intelligence, my plans to do the things. So when difficulties come in our life, our own occupation or our own relationships, you know, family, outside, then we, rather than approaching Krishna, rather than surrendering to Krishna and waiting for what it lies, what Krishna wants to teach us through that, we try to find our own ways to sort out the problems. And that happens from all levels. Even simple chanting Hare Krishna, when we are sitting, when we are chanting, we can see that one of the best time to have the brilliant plans coming in our fertile mind is when these 2 hours of chanting Hare Krishna. So many plans keep coming. So even chanting, which is like taking shelter of Krishna, knowing that he is the supreme controller, that time also the mind tells, no, Krishna is not in control. You are in control. So you better plan for the, you know, day. Because the success of the day is, you know, going to be, you know, judged how you plan nicely. So you plan now nicely. And that's how we suffer in our
chanting. Similarly, in our own occupation, in our relationship in this world, also the same thing comes. Krishna says, He is the Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He says He is the proprietor of everything. He is proprietor of India, He is proprietor of whole world, He is proprietor of spiritual and material world, everything. But we think that Krishna is proprietor of everything and I am proprietor of my house. The house is my property, otherwise everything other than house is Krishna's property. As if that house doesn't belong in that everything. You know? So similarly, whenever we think like that, then it's the starting point of all the anxieties. So when we understand Krishna is in control and He possesses everything, then He possesses everything, including my house, including my department, including my nation, including my society. Everything is under control of Krishna and He is the owner. So when we understand that, lot of anxieties are removed just by having this understanding that Krishna is in control and He can do what is best for us. And we can see that a devotee who has this consciousness is never bewildered or never in distress. We can see King Chitraketu, when he was cursed by Mother Parvati, he was a king, he was like a pure devotee, just doing pure devotional service, and he was cursed, and next moment he is supposed to become a deadly, hideous demon. That may look from external point of view as a big failure in his devotional service. We are all trying our best to purify ourselves and go back to spiritual world to have a spiritual body. And now here, he was almost, about to go to spiritual world, and then he is cursed to go down to the, species like a demon. So, because the Chitraketu Maharaj had full faith in Krishna's supremacy and his plan, he knew that what Krishna's plans are there, they will always are supreme, beyond everyone's plan, my plan or his plan or his plan. So he knew that this is also good for me, this is best thing for me to become a demon now. And that's how when King Indra came, and he was also disturbed in due course of time, Vritrasura took a role of a guide, and he was guiding Indra, that he said, you don't worry, you kill me, because it's Lord Vishnu's order. So devotee goes beyond this kind of anxieties of this world just by understanding that Lord is the supreme controller. He controls everything. And that's why he never stops his services, whether it's difficulty or not difficulty. Prabhupada writes very nice line in the end. He says, regardless of one's circumstances, favorable or unfavorable, one should use everything to serve the Supreme Lord. That is the perfect way to use one's intelligence. Because success in spiritual life is not doing the best. That is not the success. That, I want to achieve something, one of the best. That is not the spiritual success, to achieve the best. But the spiritual success lies on doing our best to achieve whatever is given by the Lord and His devotees. So it's not achieving, it's in doing, not leaving, even if unfavorable things come. And then Prabhupada writes, as usual, his one of the most favorite topic of beating the scientist. These two people, Prabhupada will see always, they get a lot of mercy of Prabhupada. One is scientist and another is Mayavadis. So, all that topic is going on, Prabhupada goes and he never misses this point of giving mercy to the scientist. He says scientists are trying so hard, but they cannot surpass the laws of material nature. In one of the conversation, Prabhupada's disciple was asking Prabhupada, scientists, they have made so much advancement. They are going out of the sky, going to the moon. Then Prabhupada's simple question was,
Previously also they were dying. Now also they are dying. Afterwards also they keep dying. What is the advancement? So, Prabhupada was telling that you may run here and there, you may do hundreds of things, but ultimately you are bound by the laws of nature. You can't come out of that so easily. And then Prabhupada writes, you know, this word Manishaya very elaborately. He says, using intelligence to balance. Because this balance is one of the key factors in success of, you know, any spiritualist. Because if this balance is not there, then we are always torn by two, you know, extremes. And that's how we see what to speak of even personal balance. Like Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Yuktahara Viharasya, Yukta Chestasya Karmasu, Yukta Swapnava Bodhasya, Yogo Bhavati Dukkaha. That all our sufferings of this material world can be put to an end just by having a balanced lifestyle. So, just by having a balance in our eating, sleeping, habits and whatever recreation we do, just by having that minimum thing also make our life free of all the miseries. Not all, most of them. So, this balance which we see throughout the scriptures, that Prabhupada gives exact verse here, that is this Anasakti Savishaya, which talks about the Yukta Vairagya principle. Because we have seen throughout the history that when this Yukta Vairagya principle, this principle was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and afterwards it was established by Rupa Goswami in his writings. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham vipro nacha narapatir, napi vaishyo na shudro, naham varni nacha narapati, naham manastho yatirva, kintu prodya nikhila paramanando. That he told, I am not a brahmana, vaishya, shudra, neither I am a sannyasi, neither I am a householder, nor I am a vanaprastha. Then why same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas? He is telling that I am not a sannyasi, I am not a grahastha, I am not a brahmana. Then why he is taking that position? Going through so much difficulties, breaking the hearts of his near and dear ones. So this principle of, although these are not our goals, but still we use them as tools to serve Krishna. And similarly, all our acharyas also, we find in this same line that how they use everything in Krishna's service. And that requires intelligence. As he says here, that although this principle is there of Yukta Vairagya, even to apply it, it requires intelligence. So, if you see the history of Vaishnavism also, or any other religions also, you see the history of after Bible, the whole Christianity, or even in terms of our Sanatan Dharma, we see that this fight is always going on to be orthodox or to be liberal. Some people, they say, no, it's like everything should be as it is, whatever is said in scriptures, it has to, it's like point by point everything should be the same. And some people say that no, now the world is changing, now we should have different way of doing the things. So there are two always sides which they are like a pendulum. One is too orthodox, another is too loose, kind of being liberal. And then in one of the article on different organizations, one person has written, he has done his PhD in that what is the future of any organization. So there he writes that the future of an organization depends on how nicely they have a balance between these two. Being very orthodox in following the principles at the same time very liberal in terms of applying the details of that principles. We can see that, for example, orthodox, there are many orthodox organizations are there, or even in our own line of Vaishnavism, we find that few years back there was a big uproar in South India when there was one sannyasi. He was supposed to, like in Madhva Sampradaya, they have this Paryaya. Paryaya is the there are different mathas, and every matha gets a chance to serve Udupi Krishna after some 2 years. So the sannyasi of one matha was denied that accessibility. They said, you cannot, you know, come and touch the deity and worship the deity. He said, why? He said, because you have gone to the west. He has gone to America once and he had come. So they said, because you have gone there, you know, you are impure now. You cannot touch the deity. And there was a lot of, you know, commotion happening there. So you can see that the principle is there, that one is not supposed to go outside India because it's contaminating. But we see in Prabhupada's case, he not only just went outside, but he brought so many of, you know, the Western followers in India and, you know, to practice Krishna consciousness more nicely. So when we are sticking to a principle and not understanding why that principle is there, the principle is there that so that we can protect ourselves. But if someone is powerful enough to go there and not being contaminated, but can influence others, then in that case he is supposed to go. So when we stick to one thing, okay, this is the principle, then it becomes orthodox. And then what happens is, we can see now also that such kind of orthodox institutions cannot preach. They have very like strong following, but very limited. Very few people, very pure, and they have their, you know, spiritual life going on. And sometimes one becomes very liberal that okay, everything is, you know, okay. Then what happens is, like we have seen some of the organizations, when they took up to the, it's like, you know, serving poor or serving people who are having a problem in their life, giving them food, shelter, this, that, on the name of religion. Then we saw that these kind of even spiritual organizations have become now humanitarian, you know, welfare workers. They have lost their identity as spiritual organization. Many of the churches of Christianity are like that. They are known for their social service than their Christianity even. So both things are there. To not go to that level of being so liberal, that's why we can see that Prabhupada was like perfect balance in applying this Yukta Vairaga principle, not going to the extremes. Now he went to the outside world, which is, you know, against the principles of religion, and then he went there, and not only he was, you know, initiating disciples, but he personally, as a sannyasi, was marrying his disciples, which is again another. If some orthodox person sees that, he will surely criticize such a, you know, act of sannyasi performing a marriage. But Prabhupada saw that there is no other way. Because there was no other elderly person, there was no other, you know, teacher there. So he has to take that responsibility of making sure that their life is very nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. So when it comes to deal with people, deal with money, deal with the possessions, then Prabhupada was so expert, without getting attached to it, using everything in Krishna's service. That makes one very perfect, and that requires clear intelligence. In one of the class, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he was giving this very nice Prabhupada pastime. When he first met Prabhupada,
that he had read a book and he came and he joined the temple. And first time he wanted to meet Prabhupada, he was feeling very, it's like nervous. There's such a great saint who has gone to the West, done such a revolution of Krishna consciousness. So that time Prabhupada, just after his one of the lecture, I think he was sitting in a train or something, he was going after the program. So somehow some devotees pushed him, to meet Prabhupada. So when he went, he paid his obeisances and he got up and he saw Prabhupada sitting with a box and he was counting money, because he has got a donation in that program, and he was very scrutinizingly counting the money, and that's how he got up and he saw Prabhupada counting money. He said, that was my first darshan of Prabhupada, first meeting of Prabhupada. He said, this conception of a moneyed sannyasi is nowhere in the scriptures. Sannyasi means he is supposed to be a beggar. Whatever he requires, he just begs and eats. There is no question of money and property and things like that. But we see that Prabhupada knew the exact principle. Principle is not to be a beggar. Principle is to serve Krishna. If to serve Krishna it requires to have a big palatial building, then he was ready for it. That's the meaning of actual sannyas. That's the meaning of being detached. So that means, if Krishna wants you to stay under a tree, then making a plan of going and staying in a palace, that is sense gratification. Because Krishna wants you to stay under a tree. But Krishna wants you to stay in a palatial building, and there you make a plan of going out and staying under a tree, that is also sense gratification. Because that is against Krishna consciousness. Krishna is not here in picture. We are in picture. So Prabhupada was very focused in serving Krishna, utilizing everything and anyone in Krishna's service. That's why Prabhupada, he gives this word manishaya, using intelligence to strike a balance between this both things. Not being attached, at the same time using everything in Krishna's service. So there, here Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada writes in the purport that becoming a family man or a king is not, it's not, the principle is that one should not become a family man, or one should not become a king, or one should not accept such positions, or one should not have positions like that. But the point is that one should be very clear in his, intentions and clear in his intelligence. And we can see that, like in our parampara only, I believe this was Brahmanya Tirtha. If I am wrong, you can. So the problem in his kingdom, when he is one of the our great acharyas coming down the line, Madhvacharya. In his kingdom, when the king was there, he was very religious king. But his people, they told him that, my dear king, next few days in your kundali, it's a very great, very dangerous installations are there. The effect of nakshatras are so bad that whoever is going to sit on this throne is going to die. He will be destroyed. King said, what am I supposed to do now? He said, you are not supposed to sit on the throne if you want to be alive. He said, but if no one is going to sit on the throne, immediately the next king will attack, and what will happen? He said, okay, you find some person who is ready to be killed like that, or he is powerful enough to remain alive even after that powerful effect is there. He said, okay. So then he found out that no one was ready to sit on the throne. because that was sure short way of getting killed. So then he thought, after lot of discussion with his ministers, they found this Brahmanya Tirtha, very great devotee of the Lord. They said, we can request him, because he is so powerful. If he accepts this position, then he will counteract also, and because he is a sannyasi, because if I make someone a king and then he becomes king, he will not give me back that kingdom. That is another problem in case he survives. But he felt that this sannyasi is already detached. You just make him king for this 10-15 days, afterwards he will give me back the kingdom very nicely. That is at least guarantee. So they went and they approached this great devotee. So previously he said, no, not possible. I am a sannyasi, for what I am supposed to do? This is nowhere in the scriptures we can see like that happening. So then, after some deliberation, he thought, okay, if this can be Lord's plan for me, then let me accept it. And then he became a king. And it is, we understand from the scriptures that the day which was the day when that nakshatras were going to affect, he just took his uttari and kept on the simhasan. The whole simhasan went in a blaze. It burned down to ashes. And there were so many atrocities happening all over the kingdom, giving the indication of that bad effect of nakshatras. But because of his spiritual strength, he could survive, although being a king. But what he did was one of the greatest interest of all, and historical. Few days he was a king, what he did was, he had his matha. So he gave thousands and thousands of acres of land to this matha as a donation. And then he gave lot of treasury of his own. Now he was a king, what he cannot do, he gave to that matha. And then after that he was released from that kingship. He came and then he started Gurukul, self-funded, having 10,000 students, all learning Vedic literature, Ramayana, Mahabharata. And he had no now dearth of anything. He had money, he had land. So he used that opportunity also in Krishna's service so nicely. So that is our parampara, that we never say no to anything unless we are capable enough to take that opportunity. So, as here he says, regardless of one's circumstances, favorable or unfavorable, one should use everything to serve the Supreme Lord. That is perfect way to use one's intelligence. And one of the most intelligent thing is to just abide by the orders of our superiors. Just to end the class, I'll end with this one very nice pastime which happened regarding book distribution, because the month of book distribution is coming. So that is one of the sure short way of achieving Prabhupada's mercy. And when difficulties are there, mercy is even more when we are doing Krishna consciousness in that way. So some of the one brahmachari from Pune in this Mumbai, he was telling that there is one company, I think our Kirloskar in Pune is a huge company there. They make pipes and things like that. So devotees got a permission to distribute books there, and because they got permission inside directly, they went inside, they got a very nice place to give the books. They put a nice stall, and people were coming, but because of the contacts, they got this credit system that you can purchase the books but not pay. And this is one of the very nice thing, because the general mentality is that unless if I don't have to pay on the spot, I can buy anything. Like, they don't see then. They can buy even aeroplane also, credit card. Doesn't matter. So when they got that credit system, Book distribution means you just convince one person, and if he takes, the mentality of mob is that okay, this person has taken, then I also should take. Even if I don't require it, I'll take it still. So they convinced some 2-3 influential people. They took the books, they went and they showed everyone, and then people started coming. And devotees, they thought that why should we distribute one book? Why not stack of books? So they had all the Marathi Bhagavatam set. That time 3 cantos were there: Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita condensed, and Bhagavatam set, and then some small Prabhupada books, 10 books. So they made a gift pack only, and then they were coming. So he was selling, in a day they distributed 2000 sets of these books. That means 20,000 books were sold just within one day. So one devotee was just making the sets only, opening the books, making sets, and 2-3 devotees standing on the, they were just giving, okay, take this. In Marathi they say, hey, ghya, lelo. So they were giving. So after night, after so much of fatigue, they went and stayed in temple, Brahmacharya Ashram. So one of them was telling that he got up in the night, 12 o'clock, and he saw that another Brahmachari, who was also in that book distribution, sitting, sleeping. And he was sleeping, and he was in sleeping also, he was telling, hey gya, take this. So he was so absorbed, even while sleeping he was, still in that same, mood of distributing Prabhupada. So what can be better way of being such nicely engaged on mental platform than book distribution? This is what the samadhi is. Unbroken thinking of service to the Lord. Even when you are sleeping, you are distributing books. So this kind of blessing, this kind of mercy is available when we serve Krishna with our intelligence, with our capacity, whatever is there at our disposal. Yeah. So with this, we'll take your permission to end. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.